Welcome to the Backdoor Cover IB Sports Gambling Podcast. I am your host, Keith Fleming. With me, post a day betting on horses, my man, aka Actively Lazy. What's going on?
Hey, I was a witness to one of the highest payouts I've ever seen in my life. And I was not a part of that payout, unfortunately. So life's okay, but not as good as it should be.
What was it, a long shot?
Yeah, it was a it was race number 10 at Kentucky Downs. Kentucky Downs is like a clusterfuck. But a 28-1 won the race. 45-1 came in second. And I think a 10-1 was third. And an 8-1 was fourth place. So if you put 50 cents, if you put 50 cents on the trifecta, you would have won $4,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was the most insane thing I've ever
seen. So people losing their minds?
Yes. Actually, people were losing their minds because the horse that won the race was the number six. The number six horse literally walked out the gate. It didn't even sprint out the gate. It like walked out the gate.
And still won.
There was a guy two people down from me who ripped up his ticket on the six and said, well, he was like, I could have got out the fucking gate quicker than that. And he ripped his ticket up and the fucking six won the race.
That's why we don't overreact. Right?
Yeah. And there's a gentleman, two people down from me who had put, he said he put $10 on the Exacta, and the Exacta paid out about, I want to say it was like $200 on a $1 bet. So I mean, he came up, but I don't think anybody hit the trifecta. But it was just one of those, like,
the opportunity was there, right?
Yeah, and everybody was just in silence, like awed silence.
They're like, man, I could have just gotten rich quick.
Yeah, everybody was just like, what the fuck just happened?
Oh, man. That's like those people that I hear that, you know, play the same cash three numbers over and over again, and then the one night they don't buy a ticket, it hits. It hurts. But
yeah.
We haven't done one of these in a while. We're getting together because the NFL season is finally starting. Thank the gods. So I wanted to get together, us do some future bets. We're going to talk division winners, Super Bowl, and MVP odds, and then maybe do our favorite over-under plays. But let's get right into the divisions. The AFC East, which we know the Bills are prohibitive favorites, they're minus 160. The Dolphins and Pats are at plus 360. The Jets, I don't think we have to worry about, are plus 2,500. Is there any reason, with the odds of plus 360, to take the Dolphins or the Pats, or the Bills just too good?
The Dolphins is just a question of how much do you trust Tua? I think that's really the X factor for them. We know what the defense can do. We know Flores can coach. I don't have any reason to doubt him. But, I mean, there was obviously some confidence issues with Tua last year, and it's not like he was blazing through preseason. You can't really get much of a read on preseason either. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you have to be a fan or you have to be confident in what you believe will be some upwards growth for Tua if you're going to lay some money on that plus 360. But if there was a team that I would pick between, if I had to pick between the Dolphins and the Patriots to take the division, I would pick the Dolphins.
Oh, you would? Okay, so is it all because of Mac Jones? You just don't trust a rookie quarterback? Because, I mean, the Pats have spent a ton of money. The defense is supposed to be good. Of course, they're raving about Jones and training camp, and we all know Belichick is going to be out for blood this year after seeing Brady go to Tampa Bay and win a Super Bowl without him. But you just don't – is it the rookie that concerns you?
Yeah, I mean, it's – the rookie that concerns me is the fact that I still think the Patriots are overrated without Tom Brady, and I think people need to start admitting that. I think we need to start coming to this realization that they're not immortal or above the rules, you know? I think Mac Jones gives them a better chance to win than Cam Newton.
Right.
But the problem with that is that I look at the Patriots roster and I look at Mac Jones, somebody that I had looked at when I was doing quarterbacks during the little draft scouting thing. And if it's not perfect, I don't think Mac will be that successful. And what I mean by that is if there's, you know, the Patriots have a history of having injuries. If there's an injury to his offensive line, like, you know, they brought in Trent Brown. If Trent Brown goes down, there has to be a shuffle. It's going to be difficult for him. He's not that athletic. I do know that they have a system to obviously negate the lack of athleticism from their quarterback position. But I'm not going to say Mac Jones is Tom Brady, you know? Like, yeah. If you feel like Mac Jones can make this work to that level, where, you know, they've got them at 9 wins. If you think Mac Jones is an 11-win quarterback, then pick them to win the division, because I think 11 is the cap for the division. But, you know, me, I'm going to err on the side of caution. I don't think Mac Jones is that great. He's good, and he could be better than what I anticipate him to be. But ultimately, I think he needs to be great for them to win 11 games or more, and I don't know if he's got that yet.
Yeah, if Gilmore was healthy at the beginning of the season, I might think at plus 360, the Pats would be worth a flyer. If you're saying, hey, they're going to have a really great defense, they're going to run the football, Mac Jones at least gives them the ability to have a little bit more consistency in the pass. But with Gilmore missing, you know, the start of the season, I'm with you. I think the Bills are going to win this division. We both were taking the Bills, right? That's your pick.
Yeah, I mean, I still think the Patriots roster is not that talented. And they've always not had the most talented roster, but they've always had the best fucking quarterback. And
right, yeah, year, so. Of all time. But yeah. Let's just go ahead and not just the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
What about Josh Allen for MVP? I know we'll get that into a little bit later, but he's probably, you know, my favorite. You were, to your credit, on the Josh Allen train way before people like me. I was a hater, honestly. He couldn't throw the ball down the field, and then he was incredible last year. He looked great in the little bit he's played in the preseason. I actually think Allen's going to potentially improve this year. Second year with Diggs, some of those secondary receivers are better. I know people will say, well, they don't have any running backs. Who cares? I mean, Mahomes and guys like that have proven that if you have a good enough offense, you don't really need running backs. They just need to do just enough.
I think they do have a good running back, though. They just don't use them.
You think Moss is the guy or Singletary?
Hell not. Singletary, man. Okay. Singletary is a stud. Singletary was a stud in college, too, and I don't understand why they just don't commit to him. I mean, the guy's averaging upwards to 5 yards a carry. Even on his worst days, he's still getting yards. He moves the chains.
He's never gets more than like 15 carries.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They just don't give him the ball enough. I feel like if they gave him the ball 20 times and they added some more pace to their offense, which is for some reason still revolutionary to the NFL, but if they sped up the offense with Josh Allen, added Singletary and used him more effectively within their game plan, I really think they would still have a top offense, and in that scenario, Josh Allen probably would be MVP candidate or one of the favorites to win the MVP.
All right, AFC North, which in my opinion is the most interesting division in the AFC. You have the Ravens as the favorite at plus 110, Browns at plus 155, the Steelers at plus 500, the Bengals at plus 2500. I'm a little surprised the Ravens are still the favorite. With the Dobbins injury and also the Bateman injury, I it's not just the Dobbins. I think Edwards will be okay. Bateman was the guy that I was really counting on giving Lamar his first ever, from at least a physical standpoint, a true number one receiver that can do things that number one receivers can do. No offense to Marquise Brown or the other guys they got. Maybe I'm a sucker, but I really like Cleveland. I think that Baker is going to be a little bit better this year. I think OBJ gives the offense another, you know, basically piece. I think that it does not need to be forgotten that Nick Chubb was actually used in the playoffs as a pass catching back, something I've been shocked they haven't done. And I think that they realize after seeing what he did in the playoffs when they, you know, came close to going to the Super Bowl, that they need to pass the ball to him and not just only have him in there running. And then the mixture of him and Hunt, a good defense. The Browns are actually my pick, and I'm a little surprised they're not the favorite. Who do you like in this division?
I took the Browns on a preseason bet. I pick on Zynga every year. just about like just I mean there's the AFC North has some what do they call it? Parity. I've been drinking, people, so just bear with me. I've been drinking. I'm on vacation. But anyway, they have some parity in the AFC North. And I've kind of dabbled in that and systematically picked at Zynga, who's a Ravens super fan. I got him last year with the Steelers, and this year I picked the Browns. I think the Browns are a team that's going to turn the corner. Primarily, when we're talking about just their division, they've literally compiled a team that is the anti-Ravens. Like, they went out, they got Javon Clowney, who is, and I said his name wrong too, but either way, Clowney, they got him, who is more or less still one of the best run-stopping defensive linemen in the league. They've still got my guy Myles Garrett on the other side, who's a dominant pass rusher. I think they've got the team makeup to really give the Ravens fits. And I know I apologize for that. It's just them calling me, telling me my bags are here.
Yeah, okay.
And hold on, let me. God, that's so embarrassing. Hold on one second. Hello.
So while he is doing that, I'm just going to go a little bit further here and just saying that the Steelers, I don't believe in at all. I it was a little shocking to see him at 5-1 odds. We've talked about on the fantasy podcast that, you know, the people taking Najee Harris as, you know, like the 10th or 11th pick, I think is crazy. I think he's ultra talented, but the offensive line, you got questions. I don't know if Big Ben can still play. They had a very easy schedule this last year. Their schedule this year is not nearly as easy, especially with the teams that they're playing, passing the football. I don't believe in them at all. I can understand still picking the Ravens. I mean, they've been the class of it, but I like the Browns. Go ahead and finish up what you're saying, Owen.
Yeah, and again, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good, bud.
But the Ravens, so one of the things about the Ravens is they've always been injury prone. It's just been kind of masked by good play. But I think they don't have the depth this year. So, like, even with Dobbins going out, like, look at how they were scrambling. I think in years past, they would have been fine. They would have brought Mark Ingram in and would have been fine. But now they're out here getting Le'Veon Bell, who's pretty much washed. And then the Steelers, like, my notes on the Steelers, they should have moved on from Big Ben. They had one of the worst drafts in like I've ever seen.
They had Jameis, right? Why did they 2 years ago? Yeah. They had Jameis. I don't know why they didn't keep him. He was basically mini Big Ben.
I don't know what their issue is or was. They got Haskins as a backup. That's going to be a disaster. Actually got the Steelers under 8.5 wins. They do have the toughest schedule coming into this year, which is complete opposite of what they had last year. So, like, I don't anticipate them hitting the ground running at all. I think it's a two-person race between the Browns and the Ravens, and if the Browns stay healthier than the Ravens, then they're going to win by default.
So moving on to the AFC South, again, this is a division that there's definitely two teams vying for it. If you want to say the Jaguars could maybe take that step up, I'm not one of those people. We got the Titans at the favorite at -115, the Colts at +150, Jaguars +650, and the Texans, who are going to be the worst team in football, at +3,000. I'm again going to take the second betting favorite, where you're getting a little bit of odds. I like the Colts at +150. I understand the Carson Wentz stuff. I mean, I don't think Wentz is a terrible quarterback, and I think that at worst, he's going to be basically a wash for what they had Phillip Rivers, and they competed for the division last year. I just think their defense is a lot better than Tennessee's. I think that they figured out later in the season last year the formula is Jonathan Taylor. Their offensive line concerns with injuries seem to be – they're going to be okay. And I just – again, with the Titans, we'll see. I worry about Derrick Henry and all the touches and carries he's got. If they continue to work him like that, it just – the history has not been good. Tannehill's been really good. Obviously, they added Julio, but – I mean, are they going to just outscore people? Because their defense was horrendous last year in the second half of the season, and I don't necessarily think they've shored it up, in the offseason. So I'm going with the Colts. Who do you like in this division?
I mean, if Carson Wentz stays healthy, and that's a big if, if he stays healthy, then I think the Colts have the advantage. If there is anybody that could repair Carson Wentz, it would be Frank Wright. You say he's not a bad quarterback. I scouted him pretty heavily coming into the season, his rookie season. And then having watched him throughout his career, last year was just one of the worst, like, I've ever seen him play, like, ever. Even in his bad film, he never looked as bad as he did last year. Like, there were
fundamental— There was a lot of situations in that, though, right? The, like, but there COVID were funda- year, the Eagles there were terrible.
Fundamental errors on his part as a quarterback. Okay. That he did not execute, and it was like simple stuff, like the route combinations that they were running on some plays were so simple. There's one play that sticks out. I think Baldy talked about it.
What do you think normally causes something like that when they haven't made those mistakes previously, and then all of a sudden they're
human. They check out, you know. Like, I mean, hell, I'm in a job now. I don't really care for it. And I check out. So right. I can only imagine.
Yeah, we all have that.
Like, yeah, what it's like, you know, he probably checked out. And that's what I'm hoping, is that he checked out, and that, you know, with him getting back with somebody who understands how to get the best out of him. Like, Frank Wright had Carson Wentz in MVP conversations that year where they were pretty much the year they won the Super Bowl. You know, right. When he got hurt, he was in MVP conversations before that. So if anybody could kind of draw that out of him, it's Frank. With the Titans, though, one of the things they got to do is they got to maintain consistency on their road games. They have a tendency sometimes to have hiccups on the road. I don't know if, like, adding Julio obviously should be a boost, but, I mean, he's old, he's worn, he stays hurt all the time, like, little nagging.
He never practices, which is a big concern now that he's not with a quarterback and team that he knows like the back of his hand.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know what they're going to get out of him. But obviously, on paper, they'll always be intimidating with Julio, Brown, and Derrick Henry. And yes, history doesn't favor big backs who get a high usage rate like Mr. Henry. But I mean, we are in a different time. He could be the anomaly to that.
He looks like an anomaly. I mean, he's a freak.
As far as their defense, I'm not sure what to take from them. One of the highlights was them bringing Jim Schwartz as a senior defensive assistant. But Jim Schwartz has been out of touch with football since he kept leaving Darby on an island out in Philly. Like, I don't understand what his role will be or how he's supposed to be like this positive improvement. But there's optimism in Tennessee. I'm just saying, me personally, I can't see it. I think their schedule is very difficult. I wouldn't be shocked if they actually don't have a good year.
The Colts could potentially play six rookie quarterbacks. That's another reason why I'm big on them winning the division. I mean, that, you know, when you have six games against rookie quarterbacks, that's that can lead to good things. So the AFC West, I don't really want to spend much time, because the Chiefs at -250, I don't see any way other than Patrick Mahomes getting hurt that they don't win the division. And even then, I think they could compete for it. You got the Chargers at +450, Broncos at +650, Raiders at +2200. Can you explain to me why the Chargers odds are +450? And then, I mean, like, I don't see any way they win that division. And then you have teams like the Dolphins, Pats, you know, at +360. Where's another one that... I mean, the Saints are +350. I mean, they're these teams that are around there. I mean, is it just Herbert hype? What, I mean, you really think the Chargers have a chance of stealing this division? Because I think there's no chance if Mahomes is healthy.
Chargers got one of the best defenses in the league if they all get on the field.
When does that happen, though? Saying that the head coach, the coaching was so bad that, you know, because, I mean, they were one of the most competitive teams the last couple of years, and they just seem to lose every close game. I really am trying to figure out how their odds are as low as they are. I figured they would both be like the Broncos when they're on that +650 number.
A lot of their losses, I mean, even when Lynn made the right calls, the team just didn't execute. Like, I felt bad for the guy on several occasions where he would make the right call and the team just wouldn't execute it. I mean, I guess it's one of those things where it's like somebody got to come in second. You know? And if you look at the rosters of the Raiders, the rosters of the Broncos and the rosters of the Chargers, like, you probably would lean to the Chargers, like, with this idea that Derwin James is going to play, Joey Bosa is going to play, Ingram's going to play. I think they picked up the talented linebacker last year. I think they picked up the rookie linebacker from, was it Georgia? I think, or no, Oklahoma. They got the boy from Oklahoma last year in the draft. He definitely helped their defense. So I think this is more of a testament to the defense. And then Keenan Allen is still one of the most underrated receivers in the league for some reason. He's still a beast.
I expect Williams to have a big year too if he stays healthy.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's talent there, you know. And, yeah, they have a brand new coach who's 0-0. But there's a reason to be somewhat optimistic. If you're a Chargers fan, or if you're looking at this from an angle of somebody has to come in second.
All right, the NFC East. The Cowboys, the favorite, plus 150. Washington at plus 200. Giants plus 400. Eagles plus 500. I just don't see any way it's not the Cowboys or Washington. And I know Washington's defense is really good, but I think the best unit in that division is the Cowboys' offense. And as Dak stays healthy with those three receivers, with Elliott, I see them winning the division. I definitely see it being a one playoff team division. I still think the division overall is pretty weak. The Giants got all those issues on the O-line. The Eagles are a mess. Fitzpatrick is an upgrade for Washington, but we'll see. I mean, he is a big upgrade to what they had last year, but I'm going to go with the Cowboys at plus 150 and be happy that it's really the only division. Actually, there's two divisions, one other coming up, where you're getting plus odds with the favorite, and I think that they should be the favorite for sure.
There is no clear winner in the NFC East. If there's anything I've learned about NFC East football.
It's Murphy's Law?
Yeah, it is. If you can go, you have to go back almost – I want to say you have to go back to like 2003, 2004, the last time somebody in that division won back-to-back, and I think that was the Eagles.
So bad for Washington and good for the Cowboys, right?
Yeah, it's bad for Washington, good for the Cowboys, but it's just a testament to just how fucking ridiculous this division
is. Do you think it's literally wide open and any of them can win it, or would you eliminate at least the Eagles?
I'm not eliminating nobody, man. Okay. Like, this division sucks, man. That's fair. It just sucks. And if the Cowboys stayed healthy on offense, you would anticipate them being the favorite and think that they would win the division easily. But yeah, once again, like with this division, I can't call it, man.
What do you think about McCarthy? This is year two.
He sucks.
He's That's an what idiot. I mean, is he not somebody that he's a relic, right? Like, he has not really think, adjusted to the modern NFL.
I don't even think this, that he's a relic. He's just like, he's a buffoon, man. Like, the guy came in talking about analytics, and then when he was coaching, it was the complete opposite of everything that, you know, would be based on analytics. But I'll give him a chance year two. It's just like year one, nothing went right. Like, the defense was atrocious, and then the little bit of talent that they did have took steps backwards. So I think they fired their defensive coordinator. But again, if he's not really the problem, then where are we at? You know, like, what's the next step for Dallas? How long does
I would assume that if you know they had a losing season this year, he's gone. I would assume maybe even if they don't make the playoffs or win the division. So is the Cowboys your official pick? Who you got?
Yeah, I mean, I literally bet $200 on the Cowboys, so I'm hoping they win. Somebody other than
stay
the
healthy, Dak.
Or sorry, the John Does.
The NFC North, again, this is a division to me kind of like the Chiefs. Packers minus 160, Vikings plus 250, Bears plus 550, Lions plus 2800. You can eliminate the Bears and Lions.
No way.
No?
Yeah, if the Bears would start Justin Fields, you don't.
Well, that's not going to happen, though, right? Like, they pretty much said that they're going to.
Like 2 weeks. Two,
you think so? I hope probably. So. I can't wait to see Fields. I I'm very high on him. I'm still mad at Georgia for letting him leave. The Vikings, can you trust them to dethrone the Packers?
Bro, you gonna bet on a team where the quarterback doesn't believe in COVID or vaccines. Like, look, I'm not here to be political. I don't give a damn about whether you take the vaccine or not. I just know that
I do, in the sense that if you're an NFL team and the rule is if you're vaccinated and you get a positive test, you just need two negatives and you're good. And if you are not vaccinated and you just get a positive test, whether it's false or not, you're out 10 days. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, the odds of you catching COVID or showing up as a positive test, whether it's false or not, is pretty damn high.
Yep.
Especially if you're getting tested on a regular basis. So, I mean, that's honestly why I'm not high on the Vikings. Like, they just got a bunch of bullshit with them. And they got Kirk Cousins. Yeah, and it all starts with Kirk Cousins, who ain't going to get a lot of practice time, ain't going to probably get a lot of games in, for real, because he's not vaccinated. And he's just – it's going to happen, whether people want to talk about it or not. I think odds makers are calculating that stuff into their totals now. I know a lot of money – even in college football, has started coming in a lot later than they usually do as far as line movement, because people want to know whether people are able to play or not because of COVID. And the Vikings have to be one of the dumbest teams in the NFL when it comes to this stuff, and I'm not putting any money behind them.
I'm with you there. The Bears, actually, you got me now thinking that at plus 550, maybe taking a shot, because could you see the Packers season unraveling? In the sense that Aaron's, we know Rodgers is leaving. I mean, hell, the Broncos are practically, you know, colluding in that, come on over, we'll give you Judy, we'll give you all these guys, it'll be Peyton Manning 2.0 in Denver. So, I mean, it could unravel. They got a very tough schedule. I'm going to have to think about that Bears sleeper pick at plus 550. That's interesting. I'm with you, though. I don't believe in the Vikings. I can't believe in Kirk Cousins. The Bucs in the NFC South are minus 200, big favorites. The Saints at plus 350, Falcons at plus 900, Panthers at plus 1,000. This is another division that historically there's been a lot of turnover year to year. Unfortunately, the Saints won it last year, so I can't use the narrative of, well, the Bucs won it last year, and teams rarely ever win the division back-to-back. The Saints have actually won it 3 years in a row. I do wonder, though, if Jameis can just not turn the ball over a lot. I think this is going to be a reminder that Sean Payton is one of the better play callers in the NFL this year. I think that Breeze was so limited the last two seasons that it hurt the Saints a lot, and particularly hurt Alvin Kamara, who, I mean, could you imagine the stats he would have put up the last two seasons if you had a quarterback that could throw it, you know, a defense dude could throw it more than 30 yards down the field. The Bucs should absolutely be the prohibitive favorite, but I just don't think there's any easy outs in this division. I even think the Panthers are going to be a little frisky because I think they're going to be good on offense. Falcons, same deal. I don't know. It's just a guts. I actually am going to take the Saints at plus 350 to pull the upset and win the division. The Bucs had a lot go right last year. They had a really easy schedule down the stretch. And, you know, Brady's fantastic. I'm not going to bet against him. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, he's, what, 44, 45? I mean, how old is this dude? Like, at some point, it has to go the other way. It's just, what's scary is the rest of the team is stronger than ever.
Well, I've been waiting for this moment for, like 8 years now. There's been no sign of decline in results. There's a decline in production and the decline in like other aspects of his game, but he still wins football games. So it's still Tom fucking Brady. He carried Bruce Arians and I mean,
AB, a whole bunch of other people we thought would win a Super Bowl, right? AB. Fournette.
He carried Fournette, yeah. But I was going to say, most the receiving corps people did their job, but he definitely carried that coaching staff. I don't know, man. I feel like betting on Jameis to not turn the ball over is I might as well just go back to this horse track and just buy my tickets. But, I mean, you know.
I'm a believer in Jameis, though. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. This dude was the number one quarterback. He can make any throw. And he wasn't in a great situation in Tampa, right? Now he's with as good of a play caller, as good of a quarterback whisper, whatever you want to call it, as there is. I mean, you really think that there's no chance that he's much better this year than any version of Jameis we saw in Tampa?
I don't want to say there's no chance because I still remember.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's not fair. You don't think it's a good chance?
I think that it's, at this point, some of those tendencies when it comes to turnovers and forcing passes are still there. He didn't get punished for it in the preseason, but he was still making some really questionable decisions. And, I mean, guys just made plays like Callaway. Him and Callaway have great chemistry. But guys are just making plays, and I think it just kind of masked the inevitable. I mean, he's better than Taysom Hill, and he'll have them as competitive as they can possibly be. But I'm not sure if that's going to be enough to overcome the Buccaneers.
I just want to remind everyone that the Saints should have won that game versus the Bucs. I mean, that fumble completely flipped a game that they had control. And, I mean, no offense to Brady and the Bucs, but if they would have been down 14, I wouldn't have felt confident about the Bucs coming back on the Saints either. Yeah. So, I mean, it does need to be reminded that with Breeze basically being washed and playing Taysom Hill for most of the season last year, the Saints were really close to winning. So it's just a really loaded roster. I just hope, honestly, more than anything, my Falcons are surprisingly good. I think the offense is going to be great. The secondary is still awful, and we're going to try to mask it by blitzing apparently like 70% of the time, which, you know, if it turns into turnovers, that's great. But if not, it could get ugly. I just want a good season. I just want a happy season. It's been a few years. I don't want to make you, you know, upset, but I'm taking your Niners in the NFC West at plus 180. They are the favorites. I think they should be. The Rams, if it wasn't for the Cam Akers injury, I think they would have been the favorite, and they should have been at plus 190. The Seahawks are at plus 275. Cliff Kingsbury, I'm not even going to talk about the Cardinals at plus 650 as long as he's the coach. But I just think the Niners, like, I think this is a revenge year for them. I think Shanahan is pissed about all the injuries and just, you know, they had just the worst luck season ever. Because of it, they have a fairly easy schedule for a team in the NFC West. I am not as sold as everybody else that definitely three teams are going to make the playoffs in this division. I got to see with the Seahawks, their defense really picked it up down the stretch, but the offense had some real issues. And, you know, with the Rams, it's a question mark, too. I mean, I think Stafford is a huge upgrade to Jared Goff. There is no doubt about that. But Stafford's never won anything either. So we'll have to see if, you know, when he's in a good opportunity like he is now, can he deliver? The defense is really good, but they're also not deep to where if they have, you know, a major injury either on that front four or with one of their guys in the secondary, I don't know if they can recover from that, but I love your Niners, man. My biggest question is, how much is Lance going to play, and is there any chance he is going to take over this job for the end of the year? Is this Jimmy G's job this year?
I don't know. Nobody knows.
What is your gut?
I mean, my gut tells me that these people are fucking stupid. They play too many games. Because, like, we had Jimmy G and Lance playing in a week 3 preseason game, running, like literally running the ball. Not passing, like, actually running the ball. On the goal line, Jimmy G ducking his head and taking shots. Lance ducking his head, taking shots. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to how the Niners offseason has played out, how the coaching staff is handling the roster. We've got one of the most injured fucking teams in the league, and we're out here running legitimate run plays every single time on a week 3 preseason game. I mean, the only person who was missing was Nick Bosa. I mean, we got my guy Trent out there. We got both quarterbacks out there. We got Debo out there. We got Ayuk out there. Like, we got Mostert out there. Like, did you not see our roster last year where we had like 22 people George Kittles is out there. Like, what are we doing? Like, I don't know if they, I feel like they're too cocky.
Tempting fate.
No, they're too cocky as an organization right now. And that's how shit goes left. I think the Cardinals are really disrespected in these eyes. I'm not picking them to win the division, but one thing about the NFC West is it is absolutely competitive. The philosophy for me on the NFC West, because I obviously watch a lot of the games, rock beats paper, paper beats rock, scissors beats paper, Rock beats paper. Damn it. You know what I'm trying to say. I really got.
He's been drinking, but he yeah. You understand rock how beats, paper scissors.
Rock beats scissor, and paper beats rock. Like it's just that kind of thing where each team has a quality about them where they can beat another team, but can't beat like the team after that. So like in our case, the Niners, we struggle with the Cardinals. We absolutely struggle with the Cardinals because of Kyler Murray. But no matter who we put at quarterback, we somehow beat the Rams. The Seahawks always beat the Niners, but no matter who the Rams have at quarterback, they always beat the Seahawks. Like, it's just this kind of, like, weird situation. So I think if you're looking for an angle to pick who wins this division, I would look more out of division, see who has the easier schedule outside of the division. Because in the division, there's going to be losses.
That's your boys, though.
Huh?
That's your boys.
Oh, the Niners? Yeah. But
yeah,
I was going to say, I was just speaking generally. I'm not trying to pick my team. Like, I would think.
I got you. I'm saying that's part of why I picked the Niners, though. I just think they have the easiest schedule.
And we've shown that no matter who we have, and as far as injuries go, we've got depth and I think Kyle in this division, I've got Kyle as the most brilliant offensive mind, and I'm saying that even though I know McVay led a team to the Super Bowl just like Kyle did. I just think Kyle has done more with less in a lot of situations dealing with like the amount of injuries he's had to deal with. I think he's the better schemer when it comes to the division, and I think that would separate him from anybody else. So, again, with the angle of understanding you're going to have 1 to 2 division losses no matter who is playing, look for the out-of-division schedule.
I'm with you. So who's your official pick there?
I got to get an official pick.
Yeah, man.
I just should. The Niners, if they're healthy.
Okay.
But I mean, that's my expectation as a fan. The roster is still super talented. And I don't think it really matters who we have at quarterback, but I'll tell you that I don't think Trey Lance is ready right now. I think he needs to sit a year. And part of that is not because I just think all young quarterbacks need to sit a year. It's because we had a very vanilla scheme. Shanahan doesn't run a complex passing system, and he was still ridiculously late on a lot of throws and missing reads. So and he's not that accurate across the middle of the field right now at this level either. And that's primarily our passing attack. So I think he needs to sit a year and just kind of tweak some things and just work on his craft. And then next year he should be fine.
All right, Super Bowl odds. I want you to give me your favorite and a sleeper. And I'll go through the odds real quick. We got the Chiefs at +450, the Bucks at +650, Bills 11-1, Packers and Rams 12-1, Niners 13-1, Ravens 14-1, Browns 16-1, Seahawks 22-1. Cowboys, Titans, Chargers, and Saints 30-1. Dolphins, Patriots, and Broncos 35-1. That's as far as I'm going to go down. You give me your favorite play and a sleeper.
For both conferences?
No, just overall.
Oh, I guess the Chiefs would probably be the favorite. Like, they're guaranteed to get to the Super Bowl. As long as Patrick Mahomes stands upright, you're guaranteed to get there. I would definitely think that this is like a revenge tour for them. They were embarrassed last year. I'm sure Patty takes his loss to Brady very personal because everybody's always been comparing Brady and him over the last year. Like Pat's supposed to be the next 6+ Super Bowl winner, etc. You know, so I think that team will be motivated. It was probably good for them to lose last year so they can kind of get back to what they do best because they were getting rather cocky there, and it was coming easy to them, and I think they got a little spooled, and that was a
wake-up call. Andy Reid included.
Yeah, that was a wake-up call. Sleeper. I mean, you could go with the Niners. They're 13-1, 16-1, you know, they could be a sleeper, I think. You know, I always pick the Seahawks to be a sleeper, and when I do, they suck, but I'll go with the Niners this year for a sleeper. Just based off the fact that if you look at their Super Bowl odds, they're the third actually, they're the fourth highest. Yep. The Buccaneers, the Packers, the Rams are in front of the Niners. So I think they could beat all three of those teams.
They're the sixth highest. You got the – are you talking about just in the NFC?
Just in the NFC.
Yeah, you're right. They're fourth. You got the Bucks, Packers, and Rams.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Bucks at plus 650. I know I said that I think the Saints are going to win the division. I do. I think the Bucks have every bit of the ability to go back-to-back where they go on the road. And it would be the exclamation of all exclamation points on not only Tom Brady, the greatest player ever, but also just, sorry, Belichick, Brady was way more important for those Super Bowls. Not saying Belichick doesn't deserve credit, but I think we're figuring out that Brady is, you know, the quarterbacks are big. Ask Andy Reid. The sleeper for me, because you took the Niners, I'm going to take the Rams. I mean, 12-1, they are built to win now. They have to have a lot of things go right. Stafford's got to, you know, prove that he can handle the situation. And, again, the defense is great. I do worry about they don't have a lot of depth. But I do think it's, you know, definitely they can get through the NFC. And they are, again, the kind of team that the Bucs proved last year, you know, could give the Chiefs problems just because of the ability to rush the quarterback. And I mean, that's what you have to do. Moving on to MVP real quick. I mean, you could say Mahomes every year at plus 450, obviously, especially I like your revenge tour. I could see Mahomes just torching the league this year. You got Josh Allen and Rodgers at 10-1, Russell Wilson and Brady at 14-1, Lamar and Stafford at 16-1, Dak 18-1, Herbert and Murray at 20-1, Who are you looking at for the best value at MVP, and who do you think is going to win MVP?
Didn't I take Dak Prescott as a sleeper on a previous show?
Did you? I don't know. I don't remember.
Like I did. I feel like I did, and that was part of why I was raging about his shoulder. And
yeah, the shoulder.
Why they got Deshaun Watson on here? That's funny. I'm going to go with Josh Allen. I think my guy can get it done this year. He just got to get at least 13 wins. If he gets at least 13 wins.
Yeah, it's a narrative award, right? We should say that you have to win 12 to 13 games. That's been something. Yeah. You typically need to be a quarterback. And then there needs to be a narrative. And Allen, you could totally see that, especially if they're the number one seed, right? That would pretty much lock it up.
Yeah.
What about Russell?
No. No.
Stafford would definitely be somebody, though, that you could see, right? The narrative's there. They have a chance to win the division.
If he stays healthy and they win enough games, yes. And I'll tell you the reason why I didn't pick Russell Wilson is because I think the league has figured out the Seahawks offense is not very – there's not a lot of style to it. And
that's supposed to change this year, right, though? They brought in a McVay disciple because Russell, you know – like that, and a lot of people believe they're gonna not run the ball quite so much. He would be one of those guys. The only reason I'd say to even bring him up is he's definitely a guy that, you know, I brought this up last year. It's almost surprising that he's never really even been in strong contention for an MVP because he's been so good for so long, but he really hasn't deserved, to be honestly. But I could see the narrative going that way. I just don't know if they're going to be a good enough team to win, you know, 12, 13 games to get him into the conversation.
Sleeper pick, Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I could definitely see that if you're saying to watch out for them. What does Derrick Henry have to do at 28-1 to win it? The last one was Peterson. How many yards that dude got to run for?
He got to change the quarterback. That's what he's got to do. You will not get, like, in this league, I mean, in this day and age, they need to just say MVP is a quarterback. That's all it is.
It is. I mean, all right, one more quick thing, then we'll get out of here. The over-unders, give me your two favorite over or under plays this year from the list I sent you.
Steelers under.
And that's minus 125. Yeah. Nine.
Yep. So they're at nine wins. I got them under. I mean, honestly, you can almost bank on Ben Roethlisberger not finishing this season out, and they've got nothing behind that. Absolutely nothing. Over. I like the Browns over 10.
All right, so I'm going to go.
You know what? I'll take that back. Let me go back. Over Bears over 7.5.
You took mine. That was who I was going to take for the over because you've convinced me if they're going to go to Fields by week 2-3, I'm all in on Fields. I like that look, 7.5 plus 105. They're in a crappy division. I mean, you should get 2 wins against the Lions, right? So now you need 6 wins in the rest of your games.
I was being optimistic about Fields. We just need to kind of push the narrative that Nagy's on the hot seat and he'll make the switch.
Oh, he is on the hot seat. I
100%. Apparently he's not on the hot seat if he's starting Andy Dalton, because if you were on the hot seat, I'm pretty sure you would start Fields.
That's a fair point. It is though, right? That, well, I guess they do. They actually have a decent start to the schedule. That's what they were talking about. So the for me, then I was going to say the Bears for the over. The under for me that I really like, no offense to Tua, I think a lot went right for the Dolphins last year. Plus 115, I don't see them winning 9 games. I just don't see them having a winning record. That would be 9-8. I think they're going to go under that for sure. I see them being an 8-9, 7-10 team. And you've also kind of convinced me the Chargers would be the over. I'd look at 9 games. If their defense is that good and Herbert, you know, obviously he had an unbelievable rookie season. If he continues that play, I could see them getting to 10 wins. Because, again, I don't think the Raiders are good, and I don't think the Broncos are going to be that good.
Yep. And as wild as this may sound, probably everybody in the stupid NFC East is going to win 8 games. They're all going to go 8-9.
So that would be the Eagles, right? They're the best. Are they the best odds? They're plus 105 to get over 7.
I'm joking about that. Okay. So people don't really take me seriously. Okay. I'm joking.
I just wanted to make sure. Well, Alan, you got anything you want to plug? We really appreciate you coming on. I know you're on vacation. You're good to be doing this first season starts.
Yeah, I was going to do a college podcast, but as you can tell, my evenings, I've been a little too intoxicated to do a full
podcast. Glad you're having a good time, buddy.
Yeah, so I'll probably print something out. But I guess if people listen, my play of the week is the Rutgers money line against Syracuse. They were two-point underdogs on like Sunday when the line first came out, and it was one of my plays I gave out like really, really early. One of the plays I really liked, so I was like, that's just not right. And now they're like almost 3-point favorites. I think a lot of people saw that and just jumped on it. So I think if you can get the money line, honestly, anything upwards to a touchdown, I would still take them. I think the Rutgers are just at least 2 scores better than Syracuse. It's just an absolute travesty what that line was.
All right. And anything else you want to plug? Maybe you got a Minute Fan podcast?
Yeah. Obviously, always listen to You Got a Minute Fan podcast. Team Turnbuckle since Sam's finally starting to keep my name out of his mouth. And then just pretty much any content we put out, man. Like, keep supporting us. We're still trying to do what's best for the group, get our name out there, and drive content. Also, be on the lookout for when we do the clubhouse for our games. I'm actually thinking about doing a clubhouse tomorrow with the Buccaneers and Cowboys game.
Yeah, I'm very excited about those. I think they're going to be a lot of fun. I really do appreciate you coming on while you're on vacation. Seriously, take that time. We will be doing some of these. It probably won't be every week, but we will try to do periodically as stuff comes up. Alan obviously shares all, you know, if you're an all-star, you get all kinds of picks. In the group, he will share picks occasionally. But, I mean, come on, you got to pay. You got to support the brand to get those the freebies. But again, the IB Podcast Network, iTunes, Spotify, and Anchor, we would really appreciate it if you'd rate and review and share it. But for me and Alan, this has been a backdoor cover NFL Futures preview episode. We will see you guys soon.